Thank you, Brother Carl, for giving that positive note here in light of other things that may seem a bit more negative, but hopefully we can continue in the positive now for the message here this morning. Different requests have come too to give a little bit maybe of an overview of the meetings in Ohio, Minden, Ohio. There, we had a very mixed group from the Plain Spectrum, many New Conference German Baptists, some of the Beachy ministers from and deacons from the Maranatha Beachy group, and some others likewise, and then various of our own churches were represented there that week. I only took in 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, and then left early Friday morning. So I didn't get all of what was happening there, but just to give you a few of my perspectives, and I can't give many. Perhaps Brother James here is usually a note taker, so he may be able to sometime give more from his perspective, and he was there longer than I. But one of the things that happened there, and I have my message based on an illustration that was put on the board there, but I first of all want to tell you about Brother Dale Heise and his emphasis. I know Dale for a long time, and his emphasis seems to be pretty heavy these days on building bridges. And he got an artist up there, Brother Abner Showalter from Kentucky, who does an excellent job of that, to draw a suspension bridge. And he said, if any of you aren't awake now, you will be in a minute or two, as he identified the pillars of the suspension bridge to have been some of the opposition that the Plain people have had to the charity movement. So you had the charity movement on the one pillar of the suspension bridge and the rest of the more established groups on the other. And he proceeded to preach a whole message pretty much on the idea of building bridges and trying to be a good influence to those that perhaps we may not be real closely tied to. Did a good job on that. However, he did say that some years ago, and I remember this very keenly, that he preached the message in Holmes County, Ohio, at a tent meeting on pietism, and gave some of the negatives that he felt in the charity movement and some of the positives for more order establishing and so forth, more, what's the other word he used there, but the idea of more of a established perhaps direction or standard or position on various things. And but he said after that he got shot at so bad from both sides that he felt like he was in the middle of the bridge ready to jump off. And he himself had preached in North Carolina at the Camp Wesley meetings, and because of that, some of his scheduled meetings were canceled, and he read one of those off to us and give us an idea of some of the things he went through because he preached at Camp Wesley. But then he went on to, with quite a bit of emphasis on his messages on that whole concept there of trying to build bridges, not only with the charity movement, but he found himself needing to do that in Central America with the other missions that are represented there and with the elders and bishops who came down there administrating, and he found himself in very difficult, precarious situations there likewise and attempted greatly to try to build bridges among them. Also, but this morning I There was another diagram on the board that I felt impressed to build my. I was impressed by this, and it brought a lot of memories back on our history and some of the things that were taught in the beginning years and have come down through the years, and which is now over 33 years that we have been going, 34 or so, maybe. Oh, it's more than that. It's more like 35 or 6, yes. But one of those concepts in the early years was on the centrality of Jesus Christ, is what Brother Denny had numerous times talked about. But the diagram, by the way, I got some new Expo markers. But I appreciated so much the emphasis, as Brother Denny was from his background, there was a heavy emphasis in his background of salvation, but many of you remember the fact that he spent 2 to 3 years, quite a bit of time of that time in his basement, praying, fasting, and seeking God concerning what was missing in the evangelical church by having so much emphasis on conversion or salvation and responding at an altar, perhaps to receive the Lord, and then so many other things that the Bible taught were not preached. And so he taught the centrality of Jesus Christ, but then he made a wheel, and if I could just draw the circle that he made, and he had Jesus Christ as the hub of the middle of the wheel. And he began to think about some of the other things that that we now were believing and teaching and emphasizing in our church life. And he gave them as spokes in out of Christ being in the middle of the wheel. And I remember one time, not sure if you remember that call or not, or Brother Harold, but he had non-resistance and non-conformity and many other things that had to do with the doctrines and the teachings of the Scripture that we believed, and he made them as spokes of the wheel, with Jesus Christ being the hub of the middle of the wheel. And so thereby continued to emphasize the fact of the centrality of Jesus Christ being in the center of our lives, and all of the other teachings that he taught, or the disciples or the apostles taught in the epistles of the New Testament, as spokes to the middle, to the hub in the middle of the wheel. Sometime later in my travels, I realized numerous churches and people were getting a hold of this and were hearing this on the cassettes and so on. And later on, I got to preach one weekend in Northern Indiana at a church there that was moderated then by Stanley Brubaker, and noticing that he had a wheel on the back of the church there where they were meeting at that time. And he had done it very nicely in a cabinet shop and had put many, many spokes on that wheel. And I still remember that he had all of these named, and I can still remember a little bit how that looked. And I probably don't even have as many as he had. And he went to work and broadened out the different practices and doctrines that that we teach and that we believe and we emphasize. And he also had Jesus Christ as the hub and of the middle of the wheel, and he just added numerous spokes to the wheel. I never forgot that. Wonder if he still has that here in Pennsylvania, as he lives in the area now. and whether he might still have that in his possession. But anyway, that has been the historic emphasis that we have had over the years in the charity movement, or at least the part of it that Brother Denny and I were a part of. We preached that and emphasized that through the years, and perhaps haven't said enough about that in maybe more recent years. But what happened out in Ohio, in Mendon, Ohio, is somebody preached both days that this diagram was on the board, and they preached on Jesus Christ saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And it is that stuck into my mind, probably above any other emphasis. And I was able since that to reflect back and to see the similarity that had to the hub of the middle of the wheel, or Jesus Christ being the centrality of Jesus Christ. I did want to mention before I draw that Brother Denny used to really enjoy Colossians chapter 1 and other Ephesians and different ones. And I still have circled in my Bible the emphasis of Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 1. He mentioned chapter 6, I have underlined the grace of God in truth. And then he starts in verse 13 of chapter 1 of Colossians. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, and that are in heaven and that are in the earth," and so on. "By him and for him," at the end of 16, 17, "and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. In all things he might have the preeminence," in the end of the verse. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." And so it goes on. There are numerous other mentions of he reconciled us and in the body of his flesh through death, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And so I really appreciated that from him, that he gave that a reality, how Jesus Christ is the hub of the middle of the wheel, and in him and by him and in whom, and everything is described, all the different things here in the epistles that center on the fact that Jesus Christ is the center of life, and in him all these things come out of it. And you and I both know, as I'll describe here later on the board, some of the difficulty that people have when they emphasize parts of the Bible without having Jesus Christ as the center. We have today confessions of faith. We have the Westminster Confession. We have the Dordrecht Confession. We have the Schleitheim Confession. We have others that are a creed that people believe in and say, "We stand for this." And we even in the old order church that I grew up in, they still would say that they believe in the Dordrecht Confession of Faith. And they need to go over that a little bit in their instruction time before they get baptized. However, today if you meet a man 30, 40, 50 years old, and you ask him about what that is and what the Dordrecht Confession says I wouldn't doubt there would be one in 50 that would be able to give you any idea what that says. But what happened in Ohio is in John chapter 16, they mentioned the way. And the truth and the life. And then they drew a line to each one of them. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus Christ is the life. And I began to think that this is exactly or almost identical to what we would have taught in a different form in Jesus Christ being the hub of the middle of the wheel. Because as this was preached on out there at Menden, it came out very similar as we view these three things that Jesus simply said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I should read John chapter 16. Reading from verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Then they shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, for the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Excuse me, I'm in 16, it should be in 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. At where I am, there ye may be also. Very beautiful overview of who we are and what we're about. Here we are on earth. Jesus Christ is here at this time speaking this word. He's saying he's going to leave. He's actually going to leave. And he couldn't get that truth and reality into their minds that he was actually going to depart and going to leave. But he says, I'm going to come back. Again, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that where I am there you can be also, but I'm going to come back to get you and to receive you unto myself. That whither I go you know, and the way you know, he says in verse 4. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, like I mentioned here briefly, over the years, we have part of this truth in doctrine or in church life that surfaces a lot throughout history here. If we first of all look at the way, and I want to read scriptures and that bring this out more clearly. But we have people who primarily emphasize that Jesus Christ is a way of life or a lifestyle. I remember so clearly of sitting in a Christian community many years, quite a few years ago, and having a talk with a minister there on the porch. As we discussed salvation and various things about the Christian life, and he was so convinced that a certain lifestyle should be lived that it was hard. He had some sons who departed from his lifestyle and tried to live the Christian life in a different approach than what he had, but he was so convinced of the lifestyle that he could hardly believe that they could or should be called Christians because they didn't embrace the lifestyle that he was living. Hopefully he has changed his mind some by now, but at least that was the context of our visit quite a bit, as I was trying to say yes, Christ is the way, and He is a life, and He is, in that sense, does among Christian people produce a certain lifestyle, but we cannot put that in a narrow box and try to make it one basic expression of a lifestyle in a given church and say, Jesus Christ is the way. But many, many people have done that. They have, we all know the history of the Hutterite people and being blessed with numerous of them among us over the years. But in all of my visits, practically, in the colonies, talking with elders, ministers there, and with people in general, I was bombarded day and night in their midst with the idea that Jesus Christ is a lifestyle, living in community, sharing everything in common. And that was their emphasis as the day is long, it seems like. They didn't talk much about the rest of the truth of who Jesus Christ and the truth that He taught. Then they didn't talk about the life and didn't give any explanation of the inner life of Jesus Christ living within and guiding us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those things were never heard. Do you live in community? Do you share your finances? Do you have all things common? Everything was over on Jesus Christ being away. And they were very, very narrow about that. I was in a colony one time where an older lady came to me and she looked at me rather narrowly and skeptical that I should even be there. And having some discussion with her, we asked her, there was another brother with me, a younger man, and we asked her, what shall an individual do in California? Well, there was no hope for him because he didn't live in community. And that's how strong she believed it. She believed the lifestyle that they were living in community was the only way to God. And if you didn't do that, there was no hope for you. The same is true sometimes for the truth. Now, the truth comes closer to reality. And we should say the truth is the truth and comes closer to the truth. But we also recognize this morning that you can ascribe to an intellectual reality of the Christian life and that you believe these things historically. You believe that Jesus came. You believe that He died. You believe He taught right things. You believe He's ascending into heaven. And you might even believe He's coming again. But you have that as a mental assent to something that you believe historically and maybe even some presently. But it does not affect the way that you're walking, and it has not given you life. And that is a truth that we have to realize. In the centrality of Jesus Christ, we have the way, the truth, and the life. All three of them are encapsulated and contained in the reality of our Christianity. And it's very important, young people and old, that you understand that Jesus Christ is a way, and that He is the truth. He doesn't only have the truth, He didn't only speak the truth, but He is the truth, but He is also the life, that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, and there's no reality to actually having experienced a new birth experience. You can have a lot of truth in your head. You can have read it for years in your life. But if it haven't brought life to you, eternal life, and faith in Him for your future and for your eternal life, it is not enough to just know the truth. Like I say, I'm giving you bits and pieces of what I heard out there and using the illustration, but having my own sermon or my own version of it. Thirdly, we can talk about life. And we can stand it alone for a while in the charismatic movement and other parts where all they want is life on Sunday morning. And they whoop it up by music and by all kinds of other emotional props, we might say, that they do in order to have a lively service. And they think that's life. And they don't understand that that is an inner life. That is not, doesn't bring about a sanctification and the purity of the human heart or life like it should. But they only have a lively service, and to them, they want life. And I see a lot of people today that leave some of the plainer churches or ways of life or lifestyles that they have had. And they throw that aside because they want life, they say. And so they go to a church that whoops it up artificially many times. And when they go home again on and leave the church assembly, many times that's the end of the life for that week. And they go back to their normal worldly and sinful ways. So with that in mind, let us just look at some scriptures to show you the reality of all three of these. Jesus Christ is the way. He is a way to walk, a way to live. He is the truth. He has the truth. He is the truth. And in our day of what we spoke about a little bit in sharing time, with all the dishonesty going on, we hardly know where to go in the news media today to get the truth of any given things. We hardly know where the truth lies in there, and we find out that it's tainted and it's fabricated, this and that, to try to bring a certain result that they want, and it's not the real truth. But then we want to emphasize the life of Jesus Christ, the reality of a new birth experience that changes a man from the old to the new and gives the ability to live a godly life. So may I emphasize these three this morning as I go through some of these scriptures. Isaiah 35:8 says, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." So already in the Old Testament by the prophet Isaiah, we have the fact here that there would be a highway and a way. And so we do not minimize the fact that Jesus Christ is a way. He's not just life, he doesn't just have truth, but he is a way, and it's a way to walk. Brother Dale emphasized when he got up on this subject that in the Spanish, the word would mean it's a path that you walk on. And he walked across the platform there in the front to show us that in the Spanish, this way is a way to live or a way to walk, not just saying it's a way, it's out there, it's a way I must go, rather. In Isaiah 35:9, the next verse it says, "No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." And this is just a real beautiful illustration of what salvation is all going to be about. It'll be a highway, it'll be a way, men are going to walk on it, it'll be very different, it won't have these dirty buzzards or beasts or what have you walking on it. This will be no ravenous beasts shall go up thereon, no lions, no tigers, no, that's not the way of God. The way that is given to us in the scripture is truly a different way than what you could imagine a path through the forest today in many given areas. So he says, "I am the way. I am the way." By this is meant, doubtless, that they and all others were to have access to God only by obeying the instructions, imitating the example, and depending on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a leader in the road, the guide to the wandering, the teacher of the ignorant, and the example to all. John 6:68 says, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." 1 Peter 2:21, "Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." It's a way, it's a path to walk on. Not just an experience when you're young that you say you give your heart to the Lord Jesus, but actually a road to walk on for the rest of your life. In Acts 9:2, and we have this in the book of Acts, there is numerous references made to the way. Paul says here, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, it's called, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem, talking about Saul's life before conversion, that he looked for people who were on the way. And it's just referring to the whole centrality again, the whole wheel hub of the middle of the wheel of what Jesus Christ meant. And he saw that these people were walking a given way, and Saul was out in bitterness trying to find them and take them to prison because they were on that way. Acts 19:9 said, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Again, talking about they spoke evil of that way, which we have the same today with many other religions or other, especially idolatrous ones. Acts 19:23, and the same time there arose no small stir about that way. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is a way. It is the way. It is the only way. Hebrews 12:13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So he recognizes here that we have some opportunity or some responsibility to make straight paths for our feet so that we don't get turned out of the way. I'll say Jesus Christ is a way. It's a beautiful way. It's the best way. And if you want to meet God and go to heaven when you die, it's the only way. John 10:1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. I appreciated that verse years ago. I read a beautiful illustration of a door into a given house, and singing and rejoicing was going on, and the people were just having a beautiful time in there. And some fella crawls into the basement window, ends up down in a coal bin somewhere, hears the noise upstairs, but he wouldn't go in by the door. He went in by some window and crawled down into the basement and heard it upstairs, but he didn't go in by the door, and so therefore he could not participate in that beautiful way that was going on upstairs there. He entered in some other way. And he couldn't enjoy it. Others may climb a ladder and get into the attic somehow, and again hear the noise and the blessing of going on in the fellowship and the singing and the praying and the rejoicing going on downstairs. But they entered in some other way also, and I never forgot that illustration. Recognizing that there are so many people today that try to enter in some other way and won't simply go in by the door. The door, of course, stands there. Jesus Christ stands in that doorway. And the only way to go in by the door is through him, because he is the door. There is no other door in that building of rejoicing and singing and blessing and praying other than by Jesus Christ and by him being the door. So don't go down to the basement in the dungeons of a coal bin somewhere, where you may end up, which millions have done that, or went up in a ladder outside and crawled in an upstairs window and again heard the noise perhaps and seen a little bit or heard a little bit of what's going on in the full blessings of Jesus Christ, but would not go in by the door. Adam Clark says, I am the way that leads so the Father, the truth that teaches the knowledge of God and directs in the way, the life that animates all those that seek and serve Him, which is to be enjoyed eternally at the end of the way. Don't just look at the beginning of the way, but make sure that you also focus your faithfulness unto the end of the way. So Christ is the way by His example, by His doctrine, by His sacrifice, and by His Spirit. Now, we also notice that He is the truth. He not only speaks or contains some truth in His life, but He is the truth. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. That's an Old Testament scripture in Deuteronomy that so beautifully describes this whole matter that I have on the board. Without iniquity, without, you know, I like that scripture. Is it in Hebrews that says, for God who cannot lie? I always appreciated that so much. God cannot lie. It's that immutable thing there that is told us in the book of Hebrews. And what He says, you can count on, you can lay your life on, and you will not be disappointed, because He is the truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. Matthew 22:16, and they sent out unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, this is amazing what they listen to what they, even though they were evil and wicked men, we know that Thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of men. I would say that was a mouthful, being given in a hypocritical way, saying these words, because Jesus said in the next verse that He rebuked them for their wickedness to do what they did. They were disciples of the Pharisees with the Herodians that went out and said this thing. But we acknowledge the fact that what they said is true. We know that Thou art true. Nicodemus said a similar thing. We know that Thou art a teacher come from God, that no man can do the things which Thou doest except God be with him. And teach us the way of God in truth, they said. And He did. Neither carest Thou for any man. No, He did not have respect of persons, for Thou regardest not the person of man. John chapter 8, verse 32 says this way, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't know if I can describe the need for truth as I see it in our land today. Millions of books are written, men's ideas. There is modern psychology on every hand and people's philosophies and this and that. But where is the truth? You had a older lady, 45 years old, that took her life again this week. A mother of 8 children, depressed, and saw no way out. And that just burns my heart. They need to know the truth. How can we get these people to understand and to find out the truth that there's an answer for these things? Not saying there's not some physical problems sometimes or mental problems that cause some depressions, but so much of it could be alleviated by knowing the truth, and the truth would make them free from their despondency and their depression. But so few people The man who announced it, that I heard announce the death, it was in Montour County here in Pennsylvania. And I'm a little bit familiar with the group up there, being very dark. A number of Tate Moses relatives live in that county and so on. And one of my cousins came out of there, got born again, and has a beautiful testimony today of how she came to the truth. But the fact that there they live, and there they reach a point of hopelessness because they don't know the truth. And I'm moved by this. I think sometimes I am not doing what I should. I would have had such a desire, as I thought about it, but you just sit down with the family that is left and explain to them the reality of the truth in Christ Jesus. The centrality that Jesus Christ, He would be a way for them. They'd be the truth concerning psychology and medicine and all those things that they give because of their darkness and their depression and their lack of life. And He would be the life that He would actually has given His life. That life would be in us. And we are able to live like we never lived before. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And I love that verse also. The Bible, as we have already had lifted up here this morning, and what it can do to the darkness of water that is contaminated with all kinds of wickedness and evil, and you just flush all that out by the truth, and the light comes on, and the day dawns in our hearts. When we get to know Jesus Christ and we get to know the truth of the matter. If you're troubled today, I tell you, look to thy word being the truth and it'll help you. Take it seriously. John 18:37, Pilate said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And I appreciate that so much, because in John, 1 John, we have a similar verse that whosoever is of the truth heareth us, or something. I can't quote it now in its accuracy. I might have it later on. But, if people are true, they connect with other Christians. If they don't have the truth, they are many times miles apart, and we cannot understand each other. But when we have the truth, then we hear God's voice, and we also hear true Christians' voices likewise. John 18:38, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" He wasn't sure. It seemed like he had heard a lot of things. He was probably well educated. He was in leadership. And yet he stands before Jesus and said, "What is truth?" I could imagine where a lot of our leaders in this country, governors, men in politics, could stand there and echo those same words today. What is truth? And here we are. At Effort of Christian Fellowship, and we know the truth concerning them, concerning what they're going through, concerning the world, the situations. We even understand the hurricane that came in and did so much, brought so much rain in South Carolina, North Carolina, and those places. We understand the tsunami in the end times that comes and does great destruction. My wife again talked about how the sea and the waves are roaring. And I often refer to this as it just continues, all this churning going on. But we understand why. We understand prophecy. This was prophesied to come to pass in the end times. And it is the truth. We understand governments. We understand how nations should rule. And how they should kiss the sun, as Psalms chapter 2 says. And they should give their honor unto God and consider Him to be the ruler of the universe. I had to think again of Nebuchadnezzar and all that he went through. And he didn't know God. He didn't know who God was. But God humbled him and became an animal with feathers and long fingernails and what have you, and ate grass like an ox for 7 years, until seven times, yes, or years be passed over. When he came back, he gave honor to God. Doesn't mean he was born again. But kings can rule by the knowledge of God in giving honor to God for who he is as the creator of the universe and so on. Romans 9:1, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. That's a good word. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. We are able also to speak the truth and have a witness within the heart that what we're saying is right. It's 100% on. It's not off. It's not tainted. We can also say the truth or speak the truth in Christ, and our conscience can be free. 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I love it. He's saying here, the pillar, great pillar, and the foundation or the ground of the truth is the church of Jesus Christ. If it is truly made up of born-again individuals, then it becomes, like I say, we know answers that many men grope for half a lifetime and more, and cannot find, because we hear from God, and we hear from His Word, and that we stand on that foundation, we lean on that pillar. And that is a reality in our life. And it's the pillar and ground of the truth. The church, His people, His born-again children become the pillar and ground of the truth. Thank God for that. And 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now let's look at the life yet in closing here. We don't have a lot of time left for that, but John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I can't ever weary, or haven't thus far, in the word in 1 John 5, he that has the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. Jesus Christ, the hub of the middle of the wheel, the centrality on all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. John 6:33, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which will give for the life of the world. He gave His life that we might have life today. Not only a lifestyle, not only intellectual reality of truth or intellectual knowledge, but He gives us life. We are able to live it out, walk the way, embrace the truth, and have life within. 1 John 1:2, for the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show you unto that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son in 1 John 5:11. And I already quoted 12, and in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. This I say to all of you here, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let me say it again in closing. Fight the good fight of faith, brethren. Lay hold on eternal life, which is a way, the truth, and the life, all three. Whereunto that are also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, it was also brought out at the seminar that there are individuals in the church sometimes who emphasize a way. And there are others who emphasize the truth more. They love doctrine and they just are full of it to bring the true doctrines and teachings of the Lord. And then there are others who exemplify life. They just bubble over with it. They're full of it. They talk about Jesus. And I think in the confines or the variation of the Christian church, we have all three of those. We have individuals who maybe emphasize one a little over the other or kind of exemplify one over the other. But what we want to do at Effort of Christian Fellowship again this morning, renew our commitment as a church to have Jesus Christ and all three of them. We believe them. We embrace them. We want to live them. And we want visitors to be able to come and see there is life at Effort of Christian Fellowship. There is truth there. And there is a way also. They are walking a given way. And so thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Mose, for that message. It brought back the various thoughts from the other week there out in Mendon, Ohio. And I think where that illustration was given was in the, it was a message on church history. And the brother there was emphasizing how when you have a church divided, and there was a different competing visions, and how the end result is if one church pushes on life, another church emphasizes truth and another church emphasizes way, and you end up with a different result decades later because of a lopsided emphasis. So like Mose concluded there, let's make it our goal personally and as a church to maintain that balance. Let's focus on practical life. Let's focus on truth. Make sure we have accurate doctrine, accurate teaching. And lastly, let's make sure we have life, a real life, where people can come up at open sharing, like Brother Victor emphasizes and talks about, what has God done for me this week? How has God worked in my life? We need all three. So does anyone else want to have any other comments to make on the message? It's a pretty broad topic. Brother Ed.
I really appreciate the message and the emphasis that Christ must be the center, of that hub. So it reminds me of Hebrews 12, where it says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. It's all about Him.
That's right.
And it's, concerned me sometimes conversations I've heard and heard of, where it almost seems like the clothing we wear is like the hub. Or one meeting, a statement was made that left me with the idea that divorce and remarriage must be the hub, or what that person was thinking. But it's Jesus Christ must be the hub.
Mm-hmm.
It also concerns that sometimes traditions can become part of those spokes or even take the place of the hub. And Jesus talked about those who set aside the commands of God to keep their own traditions. So we've got to be careful to hold fast to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you. Brother Harold.
I did a lot of reminiscing as I followed Brother Mose through the presentation. And I remember very distinctly, of course, the teaching which Brother Denny gave and the illustration. And that's powerful and that's true. I want to momentarily now especially emphasize the fact that God has called us to be truly bridge builders. Now, I realize that We can build bridges between wrong things. But when we had difficulties in the past here, people came to me and said, well, are you staying in the midst of confusion there at Ephrata? I said, I want to be a bridge builder. I've given that answer many a time. And to this moment, I want to be a bridge builder. And if we follow the teaching, which Brother Mose shared this morning, it was very exciting to me that having Jesus Christ there, then we can be a bridge builder and have people cross the way to the way, the truth, and the life. That's our dear Jesus. Bless you, Brother Mose, for sharing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother. Anyone else? My brother Kent.
I think for the message, Brother Mose, I'm looking at the picture that you have up there. I kind of had the verse go through my thoughts of, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. And if someone was to ask you why you do that, and you tell them it's because of Jesus Christ, then if we're not portraying them as the way, as the truth, as the life, then they're not going to get a balanced picture of Jesus. That picture you drew up there is going to be lopsided. It's not going to be accurate. It's not going to be a true portrayal of who Jesus is, because he has told us he is the way, the truth, the life. And he didn't seem to put any emphasis on one over the other when he gave us that declaration. So I do appreciate the message, and I want to take it to heart for myself too, to make sure, am I in that way, that truth, that life?
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at ephrataministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.